This week on the show, we come back after a super long break, and in that time there's been a lot of news, including a brand new Phineas and Ferb movie.
We're going to try to answer the question of what happened to Roger Doofenshmirtz, discuss Free Fall, Miles World, and do it all while Jonathan searches for a local pet store to try to purchase some scorpions in a jar.
This week on A Miracle or Milo. Today is gonna be exceptional, never boring even for a minute. It's my world and we're all living in it. Whoa, 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 never boring even for a minute. It's my world and we're all living in it. Hello everybody and welcome back to A Miracle or a Milo. My name is Jonathan and we're back this week to talk about Milo Murphy's Law and Phineas and Ferb, like we always do, every 4 to 5 months, depending on the recording schedule. So Rachel, what have you been up to? And you know, the time that we've been off the air, so to speak.
There's been a lot. I've had a few comics and stuff I've had to work on, and my birthday's gone by recently, kind of.
Oh, yeah. My birthday went by, too. I turned 19. Not going to ask you to say how old you turned, but...
It doesn't bother me.
No. Okay, I mean, you can say.
Yeah, I turned 18.
18? So you're an adult now. That's crazy.
Yes.
We are adults watching Milo Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
Can that be the new tagline of the podcast? A Miracle or a Milo? Adults watch Milo Murphy's Law.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I approve.
All right. We'll be changing the entire branding of the podcast to reflect the new tagline. We'll be updating the character designs to make us look like we're 40. Anyways. Yeah, no, that was crazy. You also worked on a comic related to Into the Spider-Verse, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. I did the coloring and... I know her name's Laura. I can't remember her username. She did the sketch and the line art as well as the background.
All right. So where could everybody find that if they want to see? Because I think it's really cool.
Might have to look to see her username again because it's on her account. Or you could go to my account on Tumblr, which is Ray of Color, as it is most of everywhere else.
That's right. No more. I make my luck for.
Okay. Yeah. A better. Smaller, catchier one, I think. Her account is Milo Murphy's Blog.
Milo Murphy's Blog, spelled...
B-L-A-W-G.
It's like how Doofenshmirtz says Daug. Blaug.
Sure. I think the implication is the law.
Oh,
I actually just put that together.
That actually makes a lot of sense. It's like, it took me forever to put together that Ray of Color was like, Ray is the beginning of Rachel. Like, oh, I get it. It's clever. Yep.
That was my best friend's suggestion.
Yeah, there you go. So, while we were away, Disney actually announced a new Phineas and Ferb movie coming next year to Disney Plus called Phineas and Ferb, Candace Against the Universe. So, we're going to take a little break from our traditional format, and we got to talk about this and what they said. So, the main premise of the movie is that Candace is abducted by aliens. That sounds unique, original, not familiar at all. And Phineas and Ferb...
No.
Phineas and Ferb have to go and save Candace from these aliens. And then there's a few other things we know. I was trying to think, Rachel, who all is in the cast?
Well, I know Phineas and Ferb and Candace.
I would hope Candace would be in Candace Against the Universe.
Yes. That's... And Phineas and Ferb and something titled with Phineas and Ferb.
Yes.
I'm sure Buford Balzhee, Ferb. Well, no, Ferb, I already said Ferb.
Buford,
I'm sorry.
Balzhee, Ferb, like, and Ferb.
That's there the, are two Ferbs.
It's been 4 months, people. We're...
And I will admit my knowledge of this movie is a little bit smaller. Like, I love Phineas and Ferb, but Milo Murphy's Law is, like, my show, so sometimes my knowledge of Phineas and Ferb is a little bit lower than Milo, especially when it comes to new things.
No, that's...
I just figured out yesterday that Phineas and Ferb were trying to figure out how to get a broom to work for two people, so please bear with me.
I didn't know that. What episode was that?
In Perfect Storm. I was watching it last night. And yeah, here they are, riding up on a broom. Ferb's sitting on the part that pushes along the ground, basically, and Phineas is pushing it. And later in the episode, they're showing their friend's broom, and like, and we're thinking about putting the seat here. And I'm like, I did not know you guys almost tried to do this, but okay.
What is Doofenshmirtz's plot in Imperfect Storm?
I think that was the one where he's trying to drop the giant bucket of water on a lady who kept, when there were kids in Drusselstein, she kept pouring water on him.
Oh, Boris. No, not Boris the Bully. That's right. That's right. I remember that episode.
I can't remember her name. Something with a G, I think.
Goethe.
It's been a while since I've watched that episode.
It's funny, like, every time I watch a Phineas and Ferb, it's always, like, putting together, oh, this is that Doof plot I remember, and this is that Phineas and Ferb plot I remember.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking when I saw the whole, all the bucket part.
Yeah, but back to the Phineas and Ferb movie, I think they confirmed that Doofenshmirtz is going to be in it, Perry's going to be in it, the guy who voiced Ferb from the crossover is coming back to voice for Thomas Brody, the original guy. And supposedly the place Candace is abducted to is like a utopia of like perfection where she has no brothers and she's not tormented. And so like she's not gonna wanna leave when Phineas and Ferb get there.
It like also gives me Queen of Mars vibes.
Yeah,
when I hear about it.
A lot of people are saying that, but it's also set during the summer of Phineas and Ferb. Like, how are they going to tie it in and make it, like, work as like, with, you know, presumably there's going to be a lot of character development unless they just decide to wipe everybody's memories again. But I hope they don't do that.
The chances are very, very low, and I'm changing the topic again, but I'm hoping for, like, subtle little cameo for Milo, because if Phineas Ferb gets to have so many little appearances in Milo, a little short cameo for Milo, Murphy's Law, and Phineas and Ferb in a movie wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, you know, there probably will be one. One of the main characters of Milo Murphy's Law will most likely appear, and his name just happens to be Dr. Heinz Doofenshmirtz.
Uh-huh. Not quite what I was talking about. Maybe we'll just see a little DOG running in the background and somebody yell, DOG, go home, even though nobody knows who he is technically yet.
That's true.
Probably.
I mean, what does Milo do during the summer? Melissa works on science projects. Milo chases DOG.
I feel like it could be more subtle. Like, DOG's very small in the background and, something's going on where somebody's running along and they yell it maybe in another language or something. You have kind of research it so it's really subtle.
What if it's set on the same day as Agent DOG? Like, Doof is fighting DOG, and then he finishes, and then Perry comes in.
Yeah, but on that...
Summer.
It was just, he was supposed to be on vacation, but now that I think about it, they interfere with his vacations.
A lot. Yes.
Or maybe Perry, he's trying to relax. He's just like, I gotta go fly into Doof's place once at least and see what's going on.
That would make sense. That would make sense. Okay.
He's not used to breaks.
No, is there any vacation Perry's had that was uninterrupted? I mean, he was interrupted on Where's Perry. He was interrupted on the Hawaiian vacation. Like, every vacation he goes on, Doof is usually just following them. On vacation, even when they're on a road trip.
I think the only examples I could think of is, like, if you think about between the show's usual timeline and Act Your Age, he's probably had quite a few breaks since then, because, you know, Doof's not evil anymore, but that's quite a bit different.
That's true. Okay, so we actually got a question as well. This was all the way back in December we got this question, but we haven't actually recorded an episode since then. So, well, we're going to go ahead and play the question for you.
Hey, Johnny. Hey, Rachel. I just got a question for the show. What do you think happened to Mayor Roger Doofenshmirtz?
Thank you so much for calling in, Joe. So, what do you think? about this. What happened to the original mayor of Danville, Roger Doofenshmirtz? We know Roger Doofenshmirtz, actually, he's coming back for the movie. He was recording lines just the other day in the studio for the Phineas and Ferb movie. So, will this finally give us the story of how Roger got switched out for the other mayor?
Here's a crazy idea. Maybe he, they, more than just Phineas and Ferb and their usual group of friends, went into space. Maybe Roger joined them or something, and for some reason ended up staying and leading those aliens or something crazy like that. So because why not?
So Roger joined Phineas and Ferb in space.
Or maybe he didn't go with like Phineas and Ferb specifically, but something did drive him to go into outer space. Maybe a Doofinator or something.
Maybe he gets to sing the Moon Farm song in the movie.
Now, the only problem there is, like, where would he have been the rest of Phineas and Ferb's summer? Because there were other times he was there.
Do we think that they care about what happened with the tower and escape from Phineas Tower when it encloses the galaxy? Because the tower encloses the galaxy, but then apparently these aliens are on, like, the other side of the universe. So...
sometimes I forget about that.
Is that even a thing, or do we just forget about the tower?
It might be. It could come into play in that movie. It could come into play in Milo Murphy's Law. I kind of doubt the second one. The movie seems a little more likely.
They've forgotten. Like, for as many references as they've made in Milo, they've forgotten a lot of stuff. Like in Dog Walker Runner Screamer, they show the moon, but the building isn't on the other side of the moon, which is disappointing. I was like, where'd the building go?
The robot storyline, maybe. Slowly, there's, like, robots in space who are picking the pieces of it off bit by bit and using it for things. Or the aliens are using it.
The Octalians just disguised themselves as Phineas and Ferb and said, haha, we're outside. And then it just got bigger and enclosed the entire universe. Bingo. We solved it. Shape-shifting aliens turned themselves into Phineas and Ferb. They were like, it was like, how did you get outside the tower? That's it?
It's the third dimension.
Space. The third dimension.
Yes.
Not the weird pink flower dimension from the movie. That's the fourth dimension.
I forgot about all the other dimensions they went through. How did I forget that? I don't know. I just watched that movie.
They did a whole musical number.
Yeah, and I like that musical number a lot. I should remember this stuff. Yeah, but as for what happened to Roger, that would probably be my main guess.
Hey, wait. I don't. Hold on. What was your main guess? I've forgotten.
The alien thing.
The aliens.
I think that's what I said.
The aliens took him into space, and then. Like,
in the movie, he goes, this is not making as much sense as I thought it was. It's like getting worse. I think I said the aliens, like, he goes into space in the movie or something. Like, the Candace movie.
Yes.
And, yeah, he stays there with the aliens for some reason to roll. And, yeah, that was my crazy guess as to where Roger is. That won't add up at all, because technically that would have been in the middle of Phineas and Ferb's summer. So, yes, all of that continuity is out the window.
All right, I'm going to take a stab. I think Cavendish and Dakota were on one of their time travel adventures on the first day, you know, after the first day after, whatchamacallit, the summer. Yeah, the first day after summer. And, you know, the little temporal... quantum whatchamacallit that they have in the this is terrible, I'm not remembering anything, in the episode the substitute, and it sends the substitute teacher into space. I think they're just like on a mission and Dakota just accidentally pushes that button and it sucks Roger into outer space, and then he's just stuck in space with the substitute science teacher in space song playing for all of eternity until they rescue him. And so the Danville has to hire a new mayor who signs protection acts to protect the Danville
that
forest.
That is a lot less peaceful than mine, but adds up more, I guess.
I mean, he can survive in space, right?
Yeah. It's like he's going to be stuck there for all eternity listening to a science teacher. It shouldn't even be a science teacher in space for him anymore. Something to do with the mayor, probably. I don't know.
Big Brother Mayor Doofenshmirtz in space.
Okay, but does Doofenshmirtz even know, like, Heinz Doofenshmirtz even realize he's, like, gone?
Probably not. He's good now. He didn't even notice Norm was gone till like, 2 months after his building collapsed. Alright, so, that's our theories about the mayor. Hopefully that helped you, Joe. So we're actually going to go into our episodes. We're not going to do an episode of the week this week. We're just going to get straight into our pair of episodes, which is Free Fall and Milo's World. Both of these episodes were written by one Joshua Pruett. Free Fall was written for season one as a season one episode, co-written with Danny Viter, who left the show's writing team for season two. So she still gets a story credit. And then Josh rewrote, like, a couple lines, like, instead of the banner being, eat pistachios on the plane, it's like, now, don't litter our planet. And there's, like, Dakota sings, we're flying in the sky, and then we're gonna find some alien trash. And a couple of other lines change. But it still feels very season one in how the episode actually plays out. So, a couple things. Jar of Scorpions. We should start putting that in a lot of Murphy's Law things, just a jar of scorpions.
I don't have to go out and get one, do I? Because I don't really want that in my room.
I mean, if you're a true Milo fan, having a jar of scorpions would be a great
conversation. Can they be rubber?
Piece.
Like, can they be like rubber?
Well, are you afraid of rubber scorpions?
If I say yes, does it qualify?
No.
I don't know then.
Just keep a live jar of scorpions in the corner of your room. Eventually they'll all die, so they'll just be dead scorpions. And then you can just have people ask, why do you have a jar of dead scorpions in your room?
I'm gonna, like, get super thick glass so nobody breaks it, and now there'll be holes and stuff so they can breathe, but I am not making there, like, a removable, because I don't want those things getting out.
I'm going to update the podcast artwork so it's both of us in a jar of scorpions trying to get out.
Oh, no. Everything's changing.
I know.
We're gone for a few months. Now everything's changing.
We've changed the tagline. We've changed the artwork. Entire podcast. Watch, the hosts will just suddenly switch. Suddenly it's going to be Goldie and Naughty from The Show Must Go Wrong.
I've, like, lost all my train of thought.
Your entire train of thought just stopped. In the station.
It drove away.
Okay, so another thing I liked about Free Fall was they brought back Lieutenant Tennant and Colonel Nell from season one, who we hadn't seen in a good long while.
I loved them in this episode too. All their different Atlantics. Like, you know the whole part where the lieutenant is mocking what did you call him? His boss, basically. And, you know, he comes up at one point because he overheard him, and, you know, he looks ticked, and then he just says, like, actually, that was pretty good, it sounded just like me, and then walks away, and Lieutenant starts mimicking him again, and is just like, blowing my mind, Lieutenant, and I love that part.
They did a lot
did
of,
actually.
Yeah, they had the good gag with the surround sound, and they had the good gag with Dad Blast It. Your dad's not here, sir. Well, somebody
yes,
else
that
blasted.
One like too, and then of course the confusing October 3rd one that the main reason this one didn't flow as well with the rest of the season, because it had that October 3rd joke in there, and it's supposed to be winter.
Right. So there's this episode. I'd call it not canon because there's no way it can exist in canon, because we know that Fungus Among Us took place after the Christmas episode. So
not canon. Even though DOG literally shot himself out of a cannon.
Exactly. It is a not canon episode. If it had been in season one, I think it would have been better because, you know, it would have actually fit with the whole October 3rd thing. But Joshua Perret on Twitter, he's like, I didn't write the October 3rd joke. That's not my fault. So, you know, it's just one of those that we just gotta accept. It's not canon, but it's still fun. Kind of like Star Wars.
Yeah, like the Phineas and Ferb one, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that one. Another thing I liked about Freefall was Elliot's little jingle along with his, you know, his safety gear, because apparently he's got his own line of safety gear and his own little jingle to go with it.
I thought the only job he had that actually made money was walking dogs.
Maybe maybe the money doesn't go to him. The money goes to set different safety precautions around town and stuff. So he doesn't make the money from it. He just donates it so the town can stay safe.
That makes a lot of sense. And yeah, that part was pretty good. So another season one remnant was Dakota saying Murphy was just like the Murphy kid. It's like, hey, look, it's Murphy. Whereas like he almost always calls him Milo in season two.
It is kind of funny they start. Well, it makes sense. That's what they remember more. I was gonna say. It's kind of funny they start with last names, but now that I think about it, Murphy's Law, of course, that's what going to be what they remember first.
I'm just waiting for Milo to start calling Vinny and Baltazar.
I know. I was talking to one of my brothers recently, and I was like, I called Dakota Vinny, and I was like, oh my gosh, this feels wrong. It's like, you're supposed to be Dakota, and calling you Vinny for some reason feels so wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
He doesn't look like a Vinny. He looks like a Dakota. We don't know his middle name, but we do know Cavendish's middle initial is T. Balthazar T. Cavendish.
I don't know why I just think, like, Teddy.
Teddy. Balthazar Teddy. I mean, he loves Dennis.
Yes. Yes, that's why I thought of it.
Balthazar Teddy Cavendish.
Yeah.
Or, it would be like Balthazar Theodore Cavendish.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. And then they would shorten Theodore to Teddy.
Yes.
All right, there we go.
So yeah, that's my headcanon now.
Cavendish's middle name is Theodore, and that's the title of the episode. Yeah, so that's about all I had to say about Freefall, unless you had anything else. It was fairly simple, quick and dry, not a whole lot of plot, other than just Cavendish not wanting to do alien trash, which is Cavendish.
Can we, like, acknowledge all Milo's, like, what are the odds of that happening? I'm like, you of all people should know this. You are literally a Murphy.
You should know the odds are not in your favor, Milo.
They're stacked against you, way high. And of course, Dakota and Milo just dropping all concerns as they're both kind of just plummeting to the ground just to say hi real quick.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's Milo and Dakota. So nice.
Yep.
Nice peoples.
One of us is plummeting to our doom, and the other one's being chased by a drone with laser guns, but hey, there are so many good Dakota lines. Like, well, Dakota moments. All the characters, really. But Cavendish acknowledging them, I think it was when Zach climbed up the banner after they fell off Cavendish and Dakota's plane, and kind of pulling it down so that they're using it like a parachute, and Cavendish is just like, I don't believe it, and Dakota's like, oh, like, that's the craziest thing you've seen Murphy and his friends do.
Yeah, Dakota, yeah. He does have a lot of good lines in this one.
And he definitely has a point.
Another thing I think is worth mentioning about, just before we transition into Milo's world, this episode pair was the first pair without Doofenshmirtz, which a lot of people were very, very happy about, and a lot of people were indifferent towards. A lot of people, I don't think there was anybody who was sad that Doofenshmirtz wasn't in these two.
Well, it's fine to have him in it, but yeah, it's nice to have some without him.
Yes, that's for sure. It would have been really funny if Doofenshmirtz was just randomly in the in Freefall, written for season one. Just a random Doof cameo.
I don't know, maybe he's at the circus being thrown at the dunking.
As they're going by the circus,
maybe,
he has a job.
Maybe he's finally the one getting dunked.
That would be big
yeah,
character
that'd be a
moment.
Yes.
They need to hire us to write the show's jokes now.
I have to do one more, because there was one more moment I really liked, and it's when they're coming down on the banner towards the circus. Well, it's right before. But Milo's like, okay, let's aim for that pillow factory. And Melissa's like, Milo, pillow factories are only soft on the inside. And he's just kind of like, oh, right. So he's like, oh, look, a circus. And, you know, that's when they start to realize that.
That's a very season one Milo thing, when he's like, oh, these woods weren't actually a coyote preserve. They're our dedicated actor, Peter Coyote, who dedicated this land. It's a wolf preserve. And he's just totally oblivious, like, as to why that's an issue.
Yeah, I think that's like Milo anytime, because I think he still does that sometimes. But yeah, that is similar to what they did there.
He's always a bit more naive, especially when compared to like Melissa. I think you saw that a lot in First Impressions, where he's like, we're going to be best friends. She's like, we can't be just be best friends. That's not how that works.
Although she did seem pretty oblivious to the fact, I don't know if you'd call it oblivious, that a 7-year-old should probably not be in a tank with a shark, even though she kind of already did in First Impressions. Spoilerish, sort of.
Spoilerish.
If you've not seen First Impressions yet.
I'm assuming if people listen to this podcast, they're probably caught up on Milo Murphy's Law.
Yeah. Now we're going to move on to Milo's World, which I think the first thing that needs to be noted about this episode is that they're at the pulled pork vegan barbecue hut.
We saw that in Missing Milo for the first time, actually.
We did. Okay, this just shows my bad knowledge of season one, doesn't it? Because I don't remember that.
It's like very brief. It's there. Okay. It's where Melissa and Zach are talking about no destruction in the town means no Milo. Where is Milo? It's like the last place they visit after the montage.
It's actually been a while since I've watched Missing Milo. Since I took it off the Disney Now app, pretty much.
Yeah.
Around that time is when the last time I watched it. I don't know when that was.
That'd be a good one to revisit.
Moving along, though, another fun moment was the bit where they got to pick fun at Neil, but when he walks out. I think he walks out right at the beginning, and Melissa and Zach are eating food at the table, and they're just, he recognizes them, and they're like, hey, Neil from the comic shop, and they're telling him, like, oh, you have a seat, Neil from the comic shop, and everybody's just calling him from the comic shop now, and they're kind of acknowledging it from the standpoint of, he's like, you know, I have an actual last name. They're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's from the comic shop.
And then Sarah is also, he called her Sarah from the comic shop. So when they get married, legally, their last name is going to be Mr. and Mrs. from the comic shop.
Yes.
And Sarah will no longer have to have children that have Murphy's Law because she has changed her last name.
Kind of fights against, but works for my recent theory with Cavendish.
Oh,
but actually, it's actually been a theory I've had for a while.
Is Cavendish Neil and Sarah's child?
I don't know about child descendant, but I don't know about child.
Okay.
But, like, he has a lower key Murphy's Law, almost.
You know, that reminds me of all the characters. The only ones we haven't seen as a baby are Mrs. Murphy and Cavendish. Those are, like, the only two main ones that we haven't seen. I guess we haven't seen Neil as a baby, either.
Yeah.
I want to see a baby Cavendish.
I've seen people draw fan art, I think, of a baby Cavendish. And I guess if you count Allison,
that's true.
Kind of has hair like his mom, which was, I think I did. I said it was coincidental. I don't think I planned on that.
I mean, it worked, though, because, you know, you kind of get that from, you know, the descendant and the whole line of Murphys.
Or his mom cut her hair for her and did it like that.
I could see that.
Okay, the video game setup thing that they did in this episode, too, because once Zach starts talking about how he thinks Milo is a wizard, I think it was after that, actually, but I think it's kind of fun, the little video game-like setup they had for it. And I think it was kind of more like a kid's game in some ways. I'm not sure. I'm not a video game person, but...
Yeah, and I think...
I liked it.
It was more like it was like Minecraft almost, where you got to like collect things and then use them to do other things.
I don't think it was supposed to be like Minecraft. Like, the layout didn't strike me as that it is.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't the same design.
It makes me think of the Look and Find books. Some of the layout does. But it's not a book, it's a game. He's gonna be pretty disappointed, basically, if he had gotten to see Abducting Murphy's Law and saw... Well, I'm jumping ahead again.
That's okay.
Just saw Milo's backpack get empty because he's just, like, saying how his backpack never runs out, never goes empty or anything, and he's just like, he could just refill it every day, but that's boring. Yeah, you're gonna be disappointed in the future, Zach.
I mean, no, because, like, in Missing Milo, he pretty much runs out by the end. He's like, sorry, I'm running low on stuff here. The last thing he has is the woodpecker whistle, essentially.
I guess Zach didn't think of that, forgot about it, or chooses to ignore it for his theory that the backpack never runs out.
Or the backpack burps.
Gosh. That was interesting.
What?
I do not have much else to say about it than that.
Melissa, to quote Melissa, oof.
Yes. Bradley was... I actually didn't expect him to be involved in this at first, but he was also very,
salty.
He had a very interesting person. Yes, he was salty. He was very salty. He outright thinks Milo is some kind of a villain, and I'm just like... even if you don't like him, that is such a reach, and you should be able to tell that.
I thought it was really funny to see Milo as a villain, though. Like, especially you had the whole Beak music playing. It was like...
I did not hear the Beak music, but again, it has been a bit for that, too.
I haven't seen that Some episode in, like, 3 years, the Beak episode.
I've watched it sooner than that, but still not that recent.
I can't even remember what Doof's plot in it is. Like, I remember they start with a giant skate thing, and then... Isabelle's, like, a reporter, and then there's the villainous Kaka Poo Poo. And...
I don't know Deuce plot either.
I guess we'll have to watch that after the episode is done recording.
I remember he might have been doing something with, like, the mayor. Like, I think the mayor pinned him as... The Grudger pinned him as temporary mayor or something because of the villain attack.
Oh, really?
Because I remember... Yeah, because I remember something like he got upset because the villain was upstaging him. And I'm pretty sure that was something where he was mayor.
That makes sense. That makes sense. But back to Milo's world.
Bradley had to bring back the Staff of Kremhi that he kept.
I know.
I don't know why, but I guess the plant arm, Staff of Kremhi, he kind of is trying to go all out. The whole plant theme now, I think.
You know, I'll be honest, I'm slightly disappointed that, or not disappointed, I'm a little confused as to why he kept a memorial staff from the day that Carla died.
Yeah, I thought about that. Maybe it's like, my way of remembering her and honoring her or something. I really don't know. It's just Bradley likes the idea that, hey, I'm in charge.
Yep. And then after that, we had, I think it was Mort's story, where he's like, he's an explorer on the astroplane. And Bradley's like, what does that even mean? In, like, his best line of the episode.
Yeah, Mort's... I didn't really have much to give there. It was just like, okay... And I was like, I don't know what this part is. And he's like, oh, wait, no, that's me. I'm like, okay.
You know, that part was, that was foreshadowing of Milo in space.
Yeah, that could be.
Maybe.
I didn't actually really think about that. Of course, though, I think after Mort was probably the most interesting story was Chad's. He's creeping in the corner in the dark, and nobody even knows how long he's been there, but they assume he's there for a while because he's got food and everything. And I think he had even trouble because he came over to set up because he's got to make it sufficiently spooky enough. So he's like setting up an umbrella and adjusting it perfectly and everything and just having all kinds of problems. And his assumption is Milo sees dead people, of course, and just the whole description of it, where it's just like, there's no Murphy's Law and everything because it's all ghosts. I'm like, this sounds like some kind of an AU someone would make.
This is like a... He would be great at ridiculous rumors.
It's just me. Yeah, but it just... There is that. It just makes me think of like a kind of angsty Milo AU somebody would write, which I have no problem with like people writing AUs like that. It's just, it really strikes me as something a fan would have done at some point. And probably still will, because now Chad's put the idea out there.
Like when he says Milo got his backpack from Bigfoot, I'm like, yeah. That's a ridiculous rumor right there. That's disproved yeah. by canon.
No, I think somebody would probably still use that in AU. That's probably the best part. Like, yeah, you have the whole, like, he says, sees the dead people and, like, all the dead, or all the dead ghosts, all the ghosts are causing all events of Murphy's Law. But then, no, the most interesting part is none of that. It's that he got his backpack from Bigfoot.
Yeah. That is the best part. And then, yeah, I guess that's all of Chad's. What about, is the next one the last one?
I think the next one is the last one, and it's, I think it's Melissa telling this one.
Yeah, Robot Milo, and he's like, how Robot Milo kind of deals with everything.
I think that one's actually pretty cool. I like that one.
That was cool. And then Milo becomes a furry, and,
why?
He wears DOG ear. No, it's just DOG's point of view. The only English yeah. DOG understands is DOG go home and DOG stay. That's pretty much the only English that is intelligible.
Oh, and Milo. Of course, our last little part of the episode when Milo kind of directs Small all away from the table because of the falling sign. And Neil wonders how he knew. And I think it was Melissa's like, this is Milo's world. And she's like, we're just living in it. And I think Zach's one who adds, we're all living in it. And of course,
we're all living ending. In it.
Yeah. I love that part.
I like that. They've used that sting a lot more in season 2 than they did in season 1.
They used it in Now I Am a Murphy. And I think they had Milo, his dad, and his grandpa singing it.
That was a really cool twist on it.
Yeah, because it was like, I know I hear more voices. And it was like, I can't tell whose voices they are at one point. And this was like a few weeks ago, maybe a week, actually just a week ago. Mom or brother's like, oh, it's Milo, his dad, and his grandpa, and I'm like, I don't know why I never thought of that. That should have been really obvious.
Yeah, because it was just a continuation of their song. I guess I thought that was obvious. I don't know.
For some reason, that just went way over my head.
Is that everything about Milo's world? I was thinking, I mean, it was just a very fun, light, fluffy episode. Joni didn't get any lines.
She sat next to Bradley, though.
Right.
You want me to, like, reach? You want me to reach a bit?
Reach, yes. So, clearly,
yes, with the potential.
I think Bradley and Joni are clearly dating just because they sat together at a table. This is substantial
also important
evidence.
Thing, this is important like important thing to note. They are at the vegan barbecue hut, and I think all Bradley had was a drink.
Oh. The pulled pork. That's funny. I didn't put that together.
I don't know if that's why, but I was like, that's where my mind goes. Not much of a vegetable guy or plant guy or anything anymore.
He promised he'll never eat another salad ever again.
Yeah, he's the only one who actually went through with that. Okay, maybe Buford did actually, never mind. I forgot about that.
Joni didn't get to tell what she thinks of Milo. She probably thinks... does she even care? We don't know. Have we even seen Joni this season? Has she said anything?
Yes. Because in, Spy Little Sister, she said she talked to Milo.
That's right, she did. She did, you're right. So I guess they're still acquaintances.
Not to Amanda.
It's funny, we're almost at the end of the season. There's been so much ambiguity on the whole Milo-Amanda thing. Like... they do stuff, but they don't explain any of it. Like, Amanda being super mad at Joni, and then her like when she kisses Milo in a Ride Along Little Doggy, and Milo's whole family is in front of them. Like, how does his family react? How is Milo reacting? We're not seeing anything. I was like, I want to see development.
Yeah, I think we've gotten pretty good development, and like to where they are now, most of their interactions like that, I'm just like, yes. I don't know. It felt like what they had with them has been development on its own. Like none of it felt like it needed to go into more detail to me.
I just wanted to see how his family reacted to that. Like,
I like how much she hangs around them now, though. I really do like that.
yeah, she's like, I was just skating over to Milo's house that morning in cast party. So it's like, are they officially dating? Like, is this just a thing that's happening off screen? Cause like I feel like the show is prone to doing that. Cause like when they introduce Vanessa, it's like she's been around the Murphys for a while. Like they know who she is, clearly. Cause you know.
Oh, you remember whole Candace's whole he's never even called me his girlfriend thing.
That's true.
I guess they just don't think about it. They just To them, they might be in a relationship. They just don't really outright say, "Oh, this is my boyfriend," or "This is my girlfriend." And it's just not what they're used to. Like they're just used to, "This is Milo. This is Amanda."
Unless Buford calls them out, it's ambiguous.
I would actually like to see that because I'd like to see their reactions.
All right, let's
That
just
could
get
work.
let's get into ridiculous rumors then.
Yeah.
So present your theory for next week's.
It's kind of a smallish one, but. It's more of just based on a picture we've seen. I don't think we've already seen where it came from, but correct me if I'm wrong. There was that picture where Melissa and Amanda look kind of upset with each other.
Yeah, we all thought that
I
was
feel
gonna be
like
the League of Debate, Death, Destruction, Crosstown
that's gonna be
explosion.
the one where they're all in detention. Like that feels like it just makes sense.
What if it's like
Because maybe
a big cafeteria scene that like escalates in like a huge fight?
I'm so interested to see how they're gonna all get detention.
Wait. I've got it. It's Amanda gets mad at Melissa for hanging out with Milo too much. She's like, she gets jealous and she throws a fit and that causes them to go to detention. Yes, this is it. This is the theory.
I pictured Bradley or Murphy's Law or both being the cause for some reason. I did not even think about that.
What if Doof
Only
is
if,
in
like,
detention with them? He
oh.
just shows up because he wants to be in detention.
And then just like, get out. So he's like, okay, and just grabs his backpack, just drags it across the floor out the door and
Twenty
slams it
bucks.
shut.
20 bucks says DOG is going to be in detention. Milo's going to say, DOG, go home. You didn't do anything wrong. You're not supposed to be in detention.
And maybe this time he's not so sad. Maybe this time he's kind of like, oh, I did good. Okay.
It's a sad dog's life.
Or maybe he's the one who has to come up and drag Doofenshmirtz out. Maybe like
DOG
they're
like
like,
pulling
you don't need to
Doofenshmirtz.
be in here, and they're like, DOG, you go home too. So he walks up to Doof, grabs him by like his sleeve, and is like just dragging him out of the room.
Yeah.
His Doof's just like rambling on. He's like, I could do this or be helpful with this and stuff like that. And he's just like, nope, come on.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of
And
fun.
he like turns around and like shuts the door after he pulls Doof out.
So, what was your other theory for this? I think I'm sorry. I got us off track.
The basic idea was just that it was for that episode, just because the way they looked so angry. Something like detention would probably get Amanda pretty agitated.
I am excited to see Melissa like and Amanda angry at each other. Like, I know it sounds bad, but like I like conflict. Conflict is fun.
Okay, but I'm excited to see what kind of conflicts Bradley might have with Milo, and really kind of hoping, please, character development that makes him more okay with Milo.
Yeah, I'm also. Yeah, go ahead.
I've been waiting since like the beginning of the show to hopefully see some character development for Bradley to where he starts to be more okay with Milo. And we're on like the last few episodes of this season, so I'm like, this is a golden opportunity. They're stuck in detention. don't pull an Elliot Bell, please. At the end of the episode, he's just like, nope, going back to work.
Medic! So medic! I need a medic!
Yes. They're fun, and I like them, but also I'm like, don't pull it with Bradley, please.
Okay, so, given, so Isabelle is probably going to show up in Parks and Rec, given everything that has been said so far. So that's not a ridiculous rumor, but like, that's the rumor, is that Isabelle's gonna show up in Parks and Rec. That's probably gonna have a doof plot, and the detention one is gonna have a Cavendish and Dakota plot.
What was Parks and Rec's description again? I actually forgot.
It was Milo, Melissa, and Zach go to help at the park. That is literally okay. The lamest description in the history of mankind.
It was. Now, the first one, the detention thing already sounds crazy exciting to me, at least.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The
Especially
second one's
given
got a very
still.
Basic, it's got a very, very basic description. Watch that one, the second one, be even crazier.
Yeah, that's usually it when the description is, like, misleading. Like it's not telling us anything about Doof or Cavendish and Dakota, and we know they're probably going to show up at some point in these. Unless we get a third Zippy, the world's fastest koala episode.
No, I'm not sure how
Zippy.
Cavendish is going to go.
That's true. Because he's frozen.
Yeah. They might be able to do something because there's still some potential with that. I mean, I think he was mentioned in the finale's description. So.
Presumably, he and Dakota will reconcile and. Like, they'll or team up with maybe, Doof and Perry, who will also reconcile.
Maybe they're, like, still working on it as things are going. Like, as their things are progressing, because I think it said they were going to help Milo or something. So maybe as things are progressing, they're still having little arguments, picking little fights and stuff, and they're just kind of, like, slowly piecing things back together.
Okay, here's a question. A lot of, like, the whole team of writers said that they thought that season two was better than season one. So far, would you say you agree with that, or would you say season one is better?
At first, I probably would have said season one is better, but as it's progressed, I've started liking it a lot more. So, I don't know if it's, like, a lot more better than season one. I'm leaning towards that, because I am really loving what they're coming out with recently.
I think the first half of season one was, or not the first half of season, the first half of season two was a little rough. They were definitely trying to find, there was almost like too much of the same.
It's like a new concept. They're trying to get into the flow of things, still working it out. The later parts of season two, I definitely think are getting a lot better.
Yeah.
And I do think I might like some of them a bit better than season one episodes, like first impressions, definitely. That one was just probably my new favorite episode.
That was better than a lot of season one episodes.
It was adorable and funny and just really good episode all the way around.
Yep. I'd say I still think season one is better because I just love time travel, but it'll also depend on how they end season two because right now, I still don't, like, it'll probably make the whole rest of the season mean so much more when I actually know why the aliens are there, what they want with Milo.
I am so excited for that.
Like, it'll add, you know, context, and if we find out that, you know, Bob Locke has been a villain this whole time, like, he clearly is.
I still stand by that theory. Yep. Some people are, like, saying, I think he's innocent. I'm like, nope, I stand by the theory that he is a suspicious person, and I don't trust him, and it's probably going to be bad.
I mean, yeah, like it'll make the entire season, when you look back, so much more meaningful once we see the season finale, so.
I know she's probably not bad, but the whole, my two favorite things with Cavendish, or with the two aliens, Conan Loeb, and then Bob Block saying the exact same tone and everything to Cavendish and Dakota, I'm like,
my favorites.
I'm like, what is this supposed to mean?
I don't know. I'm going to make a post about that on Twitter, like cut the two clips together and be like, what does it mean?
I know we mentioned it in a podcast episode before.
Oh, the
I
Bob
know I
Block
got pointed
theory?
out to you once. The my two favorites thing.
Oh, yeah, I feel like we talked about it, but
Yeah.
it's been a while, so.
I don't know if you posted about it on Twitter or not, but I think I know we talked about it here.
Yeah. We'll have to put it on Twitter too. See. But yeah, so that'll conclude this week of America or Milo, unless there's anything else you wanted to add to the ridiculous rumors.
Nope, I think I about un or outdid myself on all the ridiculousness.
Yeah, no, that was really good, and
Not maybe not outdid, but I'm
this
done.
week was like it. The episode's free fall in Milo's world didn't have a whole lot to, really make ridiculous rumors about. So hopefully we'll be able to get this out actually this week, since I no longer have school, and can get that done. And yeah, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter at Miracle or Milo. You can listen to the podcast through Anchor or through your favorite podcasting platform. If you'd like to donate to the show, we have like a support link through Anchor. Nobody's done that so far, so that would be cool if you did that. We also have a YouTube channel where you can see extended versions of the episodes. Sometimes if we talk about extended stuff, which we didn't really do this week, so maybe not this week. But yeah, you can also subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Thanks for listening, you guys, and we'll see you next time. Bye!
Adios! It's my world and we're all living in it! All credit goes to Fizzy on YouTube for recording the Milo Murphy's Law instrumental theme. The original Milo Murphy's Law theme song is copyright Disney 2018, as well as all the characters and things that we discuss. Any copyrighted content from Milo Murphy's Law in this production is used to enhance our opinions and commentary on the show.